But now, it's time to talk cars, books and women. Here's Roger Bolton with feedback.
I think feedback is central to the BBC's accountability. I think that it's the one of the few places where there's the real possibility of the licence fee payer having a proper dialogue with those who are spending the money that they give them. I see myself as sort of on a bridge, really, between the two. The job is to help each side understand the other. But in the end, my primary loyalty is to the audience. And if they want something answered, I'll try and get those answers. In the last 2 years, we haven't exactly been short for stories. A lot of them very painful. There's been the whole Savile business. The BBC's lost a DG, a chairman. There's been DQF, the subsequent cuts, the reversal of cuts, the debate about local radio. In all of this, I think it's crucial that the BBC communicates properly with its audience. And one of the ways it does that and should do that is being answerable. No sooner did feedback come off air just before Christmas than some of the most distinguished found it impossible to say, and I'll take a deep breath, Jeremy Hunt, the Culture Secretary.
Right up!
Many of you said you'd never listen again. So we sent a couple of listeners to Ambridge for a full and frank discussion with the murderer, our editor, Vanessa Whitburn.
It has not been easy to say, I'm no longer listening to this. I've almost felt grief stopping listening to it. But Ambridge is no longer the place that I used to visit.
I can give you the list of shortwave closures. I can give you the list of radio closures. It does not make very good reading. And, of course, you know about the five full radio services closures. So it leaves our audiences not very happy with these decisions, that I can tell you.
We are entering a really quite difficult period. There's no doubt.
Director General hasn't summoned you up and said, don't worry, we're going to exempt Radio 4 from all of this.
No, he hasn't, although I'd be very happy if he'd like to call me. I'd be thrilled.
Now, I like Mozart's work. In fact, he's my favourite composer. But I like it just as I like various cuts of beef. But who wants beef for every meal for a solid 11 days? So I've given up Radio 3 until it puts out programmes instead of catalogues.
Actually, John, it was even worse. It was 12 days.
Weak storylines, the unbelievable script. I thought the acting was poor. I know that there are people who, hundreds, thousands of people, who feel that you've got this badly wrong and, quite frankly, want an apology. You've lost me and I know many, many thousands of people as listeners.
Yes. Obviously, that does affect me. You know, I'm sorry about that. I hope that you will continue to listen. I can't control that, but I hope that you will.
I heard you speak. I've had two operations on my wrist from RSI, my computer mouse, and now I can't write.
Sit down. Norfolk or Dorset? We get some expert analysis.
The T should not be pronounced like a D, but as a glottal stop, and the Y sound should not be in the syllable pew, so it should be computer.
Computer.
Brilliant. See, Roger, you've learnt it in just a few seconds.
I listened to the piece on PM about the earthquakes in Christchurch, and it did stop me in my tracks. I found it riveting, fascinating, very moving, and yet at the same time very sensitively handled.
Can I ask if you've had a drink today?
Yes, I have.
Can I ask how much?
Am I on the radio at the moment?
Yes, Rachel.
Yes, I have been drinking today. And I admit that fully.
And was she told before she came on air that she was actually going to be live? Because at one point she says, am I on the radio at the moment?
Yeah, she did. Earlier on in the conversation, she'd acknowledged that she was on air. She'd explained the reasons why she wanted to come on the programme. When she asked for clarification that she was on air, Victoria said, yes, yes, you are.
Really, my complaint is in the second part of the name of the new Salford BBC site, City. Of course, the BBC could not even cite anything in the countryside, even if it wanted to. We have poor mobile coverage, a broadband that needs hours to download iPlayer content, and a bus that comes once a week, if you're lucky. And worst of all is the way you continuously regard the countryside as one big Rambler's Regent's Park, rather than the shop floor of a factory producing our food.
One of our listeners says specifically, do BBC staff fly economy class? How do the budgets work? Is there a limit? So, take James Nocatee. Did he go economy class?
all of our people go the cheapest way, which is generally economy. The only way that we would pay for a business class flight is if we wanted them on the ground very quickly, or they were travelling overnight and needed to work as soon as they got off the plane.
In his own mind, he's a show business legend, a raconteur extraordinaire. Well, I know the feeling. But in reality, he is a mumbling mess of malapropisms and misjudgments.
Come to Arthur Strong's radio show.
The least funny thing I've ever heard. In fact, it's not just that I don't find it funny. I find it cringeworthy.
I wouldn't be seen dead in a pair of underpants like that. There's nothing of them.
Well, we certainly had more partial information. I think the interesting thing is, perhaps because we have a coalition government, there is a lot more negotiation and there's a lot more posturing.
Of course, some listeners would suggest, why play the game in the first place? Why just not ignore these things, wait till the Chancellor actually delivers the speech and then report upon it? Would that be a rather naive approach?
I don't think you can do that as a journalist. Our job is to try and get people information as quickly as possible.
I'd love to know what feedback listeners think, because most of us want a good listen on the radio. We don't want to hear the presenter bleating all the time for, what do you think? You know, we don't really want that, but we do want a mix.
Are you really there when you do your trail?
Yes, we're always live, but sometimes not in person.
Are you going over to the House to do it?
Yeah,
today?
I think we will do it from... Andrew, we do? Yes, we'll do it from the Commons.
We'll do it from the Commons. It will mean we'll get it quite late, but we...
Always.
We always do that. That's
fine. Ben, where are we off to now? We're leaving the building.
Yeah, we're making the short walk, familiar to most MPs, from the BBC's office in Millbank over to the Houses of Parliament.
Yeah. Kerry, so very kindly, just for me, you've agreed to take me to where the Beatles studio was.
I think the Beatles are still in there.
It was Studio 5, was it?
Let's have a look.
The Beatles recorded programmes here in June and July 1963 for their BBC radio series Pop Go the Beatles.
But that's the beauty of this place, is you just don't know who's around the corner or what noises you're going to hear.
For me, obviously, I can see how you react. I can see if I put a question and you're slightly uncomfortable, which is most unlikely. I don't think you've ever been uncomfortable answering a question. But I can see that. Now, you can't.
There are all kinds of signals that people give off. And because I've been blind from birth, I've not been able to use eye contact. So I've used other things, the way somebody maybe moves around, their handshake. Sometimes you interview people and you know that they're shaking.
This is going to be apparently the scene of something really closely fought, arguably the most important meeting on Radio 2 all week, when they decide the playlist. So it's a very short meeting and you come up with an agreed list without any trouble, is that right?
If only that were the case.
So what are you batting for this morning? What are you keen to get on that playlist?
I will be batting for Muse, who have a new single out. You know, it's not easy, but I think it is melodic and I think there is a place for that on the Radio 2 playlist.
And I think the tone of gravitas, if you like, and a sense of history in the moment were really there with the service and parade. I think whether we got it right for absolutely everybody on that day of the pageant and the flotilla, I can accept that we didn't for everybody. And we need to look back and see as we will.
And suddenly there's a break in transmission. Well, these things happen, but four in a row, you start to lose confidence in listening to the programme. You're on edge, wondering when it's going to fail.
Yes, well, the first was from Chichester when the satellite came off air for 8 minutes. And then on the 2nd of May from St John's College in Cambridge, that was a mains electrical failure.
That was the Prime Minister, David Cameron, after last year's riots. I'm a single mother and it's comments like this that has made me question, why is there such a stigma surrounding single parents? Children without
fathers... I mean, I get scared doing this job sometimes. So were you scared?
I wasn't scared until I actually went out on the street for the first time and got so many no's, because I thought it would be easy. I thought, oh, we've got a BBC badge. Who's going to say no to us? Everyone's going to want to talk to us. But no, not the case at all.
And you do feel an idiot when you're standing there, don't you? People walk. But yeah, I know. Yeah. I know that feeling. Yes.
So yeah, I think it was very scary.
More than half a century after he arrived from Jamaica to study at Oxford, at the very beginning of the 50s, Stuart Hall looked back and said that for the first time in his adult life, he was beginning to feel like a dinosaur.
Now, whether or not this programme got it right or not, Should they have come to you and checked with you what you thought and only gone ahead if you had agreed that their interpretation of your thought was correct?
No, I don't want a veto over ideas, of course not. I thought they might have checked if they were finding them difficult, and it rather sounds as if they did eventually.
Last week, he heard me say that Feedback was pining for a jingle of its very own.
I used a sort of an orchestral bass. I tried to find different elements of Feedback for the show and sort of put them into the song, which I found very difficult.
This is Feedback.
Give us your tweets and calls. Tell us when we drop balls. Praise when it's due and where it falls. And much, much more.
Thank you, Elizabeth. No, I'll stop there.
There's been a phenomenon on Radio 4, our sister network, that a huge number of producers have used facades in all sorts of different contexts, in programmes about psychoanalysis and about the crashing of the financial markets, and it's been used as a background to reading of poetry, and it's just become a thread on a programme called Feedback, and the listeners have been noticing this and saying, well, you know, we like this piece very much, but,
enough,
you know,
already.
choose something else, give somebody else a break.
Donald, I learned this a long time ago, and I'm sure you know this too. People don't know what they like what they know.
Well, in the particular case of the breast cancer screening, John Humphrey said, the programme had tried very hard to find a woman to comment on the breast cancer screening story. They said they couldn't find one.
I don't know where they're looking, because if you looked at Twitter, within seconds of that piece being aired, it was full of women saying, what?
Therefore, it leads to the obvious question, you should go, shouldn't you?
No, John, I've been appointed the Director General. The Director General isn't appointed only if things are going to go well.
Hi, my name is Kevin Price. I'm from Manchester. It was a pleasure to hear, to be honest. John didn't let George get away with anything or skirt around any of the issues and persisted at the appropriate points in his questioning. That interview with John really kind of brought some faith and a hope of correct journalism being carried out.
The second this was brought to my attention last night, I immediately
brought
started...
Brought to your attention? Do you not read papers? Do you not look? Do you not listen to the output?
My name's Gerald White. I live in Leeds. I'm 85 years old, and I go back a long way with the BBC. This week particularly, I've been listening to the Composer of the Week on Radio 3. And with all this trouble at the BBC at the moment, it occurred to me that at the same time, down in the engine room, everybody's making these programmes, so I just wanted to say well done and I shall keep listening.
Thanks to all of you who got in touch.
Do you still enjoy doing the programme?
I've never enjoyed doing a programme as much as I do enjoy Feedback, and I enjoy it at the moment as much as I've ever done. I think the issues are so fascinating. They've occupied me since I first joined the BBC as a general trainee in 1967. I've seen some of these things from the inside as an editor. I've been fired by the BBC, reprimanded, and a few other things. So I think I do know what goes in the mind of people. It's frankly a thrill for me to be able to represent the audience and to be able to test the views of people. And I hope what they know when the BBC executives and others talk to me is I know what it's like for them. So I am sympathetic to a lot of their concerns and the strains they're under and the misapprehensions the audience have. But I hope the fact that they know I know what it's like means that they're straight.